Welcome to Awaken Life Radio, a podcast about being a spiritual being, having a human experience in a world gone mad. Each week, we will discuss how you can heal yourself, cultivate your intuitive superpowers, and be a sacred vessel for planetary healing. I am your host, Narayani Gaya. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Awaken Life Radio. My name is Narayani Gaya, and I am your host here with a really special friend of mine named Jim White. And I met Jim many years ago in ceremony through Chief Golden Light Eagle and Chief Elkman Blue Star Eagle. And he showed me a lot of magic in the ceremonies that I got to participate in with him. And then over the years, we kind of became friends and stayed in touch. And when the chiefs passed and everything was changing, he was really a brother ally. And I'm really grateful and honored to be able to introduce you all to this friend. Jim is a Uwipi man, a Dakota elder almost, I think, at this point. Definitely is a member of my spiritual family. And I'm going to invite Jim to introduce yourself, because there's ways that you can represent yourself that I cannot appropriately. So welcome. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Jim White. I'm an Enrolled Santee Dakota tribal member. I'm UEP man. I had UEP vision that I fulfilled. I'm also a veteran. U.S. Army veteran, and 58 years old. I live on Santee Dakota Indian Reservation here in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I just work and do ceremony. That's my life.
Yeah. And you work hard, and you have a beautiful heart, and you're very humble. Being humble is a path to connect to spirit, but there's also a lot of lessons in being very humble too, because even people that have dedicated their lives, whether it's the path, Jim, that you walk, or like I was talking with a friend who lives in Bali right now, who's a bodhisattva, which is the path of Buddha, that dedicates themselves to path of service and liberation of all beings. It's the same. Sometimes there's a lot of lessons in standing in your power and strength and using your voice and parent. And you're also a dad, right? And are you a grandpa too?
I'm a grandpa too. Yes.
A grandpa too. So you learn these lessons in leadership as well. But Jim, I wanted to follow up with you because you're my friend and I love you. But also because you had mentioned that you had a dream about Corn Woman, and that you wanted to talk about it. And so it seemed like the perfect right time to jump on to Awaken Life Radio and finally record something down for the people who are interested in learning about embodied spirituality, which is a real focus of this, you know, podcast, is practical spirituality. And as you don't call yourself a healer, but as a healer and a keeper and a Sundance chief and all those things, you have many teachings. And so I'd love to hear what you want to share about Corn Woman and how and why that is, which at this point in the question seems silly, but why that's important for us to know. Please, I'd love to hear anything you want to share about your dream and about Corn Woman and why that's important for people to know at this time.
Okay. Well, you know, the Pleiades star system, the seven stars that make up Pleiades, we consider them all grandmothers. Mm-hmm. Corn Woman was one, White Buffalo Cap Pipe Woman, Red Star Woman, White Star Woman, Blue Star Woman, the Holy Mother, and Turtle Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have learned over the years is each one kind of, the continent of land is where their domain is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have learned is this North American continent is the domain of White Buffalo Cap Pipe Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then South America, is the dominant, is corn woman's dominate over that land there. So anyway, years ago, I had a dream of this woman, and I knew she was coming from the north, coming towards me, and she was carrying something. And I was standing out in this cornfield, and my grandma, her name was Charlene Schumacher, she was standing to my right side, which had been on the east side, and she was dressed in her regalia. And this woman came to me, and she gave me 3 ears of blue Indian corn that the husks were braided together. And she told me that I am going to need these in the future. And so I received them from her, and she continued on to the south. At that time, I didn't really know what was going on, but I knew she was sacred. She was a being, a goddess, a spirit, And so from that point on, I started using the Indian corn in my ceremony. And I would have three of them, but I couldn't braid them because the husks were dry, but I would use a rubber band to keep them together, And I'd keep them in my ceremony to see what kind of knowledge or information I had coming from it, And so later on, I learned about the seven grandmothers from my uncle Lauren, Chief Golden Light Eagle. He told me about the seven grandmas. And so then I knew that's where she came from.
The seven grandmothers related to the seven sisters of the
That's
Pleiades.
the same thing.
The
It's
same
the same.
thing. Yeah, the same thing. Yeah.
We just call them grandmothers
Yes.
because they're old and they got wisdom and knowledge and they're sacred. So anyway, I used those and I didn't know what it was for. And as time goes on, I started realizing what it was for. It represented family,
Beautiful.
the building of families, blood or spiritual families, like Sundance families, ceremony families, powwow families. And so, I always remember that and kept that, So the thing is we have to respect them because this is their domain, and not to like overtake them, if that makes sense, I always
So,
have that respect for
So
everything.
this is so in terms of North America, South America, Palladian, Corn Mother, this domain, which domain is whose domain? What do you,
This is a white buffalo calf pipe woman
oh, White
domain.
Buffalo Calf Pipe Woman. Yeah.
North
Right.
American continent, yeah.
Right.
And then the South American continent is corn woman's domain. And so the other ones I haven't figured out yet because I haven't asked the spirits,
Yeah, and I want to talk about the difference between figuring out and asking the spirits. That seems kind of basic for those people who have been in ceremony life, but it's something that I had to learn in becoming part of a spiritual Dakota, family and being adopted by a Dakota family and everything. So that's something that I had to learn the difference between, and it's something in my school that I work with people. Notice the difference between thinking about something, saying somebody told you, and actually having a dream or a vision or even guidance as a result of a prayer. Right? Like I was like last night I was deciding about this next ceremony that I'm hosting. And there's some things that feel really off for me, and I think it needs to be extended and changed because some people dropped out and the original prayer changed. And so I said a prayer about it, and I just closed my eyes and I went into meditation. And sometimes, we have different places we go, right? Like, and so one of the places that I've received since my early 20s when I first started sweating doing Anipi was like this grandmother's council kind of a place. And anyway, they tell me stuff. And my higher self hangs out with them. And they said, do whatever you want. They said, this is not a have to, this is not a karmic thing. This is just this, there's spaciousness and breath, and do what, if you don't feel like this, if you don't want to, then you don't have to. Whereas another guidance could be a whole other thing. That wouldn't be the same thing that I would say for everyone all the time, or that was just referring to this particular situation. Right. And so this piece that is so rich in on the red road in spiritual ceremonial work of getting guidance seems to be what's missing from the Caucasian colonizer mind. Even that, and I like to look at that as like the colonization that affects, this is not to make white people feel bad because everyone's mixing up these days, but to understand that we're all affected by colonization, right? You shared something with me recently. We were chatting it up a couple months ago, and you were talking about some old Indian folks that don't believe in the old ways. There's a lot of people that aren't necessarily holding the ancestral traditions of the star teachings, of working with the directions and doing the ceremonies of the White Buffalo Cap Woman altar of these teachings, and that that religion has really come in more than people kind of know, you know. And it just shows how much these cultures have been so diffused and lost. And it makes these teachings even that much more important, valuable, special, needed, you know. And everybody thinks their thing is needed, right? But Jesus is needed. You know, I live in the South now, you know, this is needed. Well, guess what? The Dakota teachings, White Buffalo Cap Woman teachings, and these star altars actually make room for even Emmanuel, for Jesus, and all this. It's all part of it. It's not separate. Can you speak about your experience with integrating kind of everyone's different belief systems into your ceremonies? Because I think that could keep people from really experiencing the fullness of their spirit if they want to say, meet you or be part of a Sundance, or they want to go to a sweat. Can you talk about how people can kind of re-enter that from different families? How you, I don't know, suggest people find their way if they want more Indigenous and traditional or even Dakota, you know, ceremony in their life. I think it's important to name it for people that feel the pull but don't know how, because maybe they think their religion or their background will keep them from that. Because my experience is, you know, your altar and the people that I've met, you know, that are part of my extended family are actually quite open, more than people know, if you come in a certain way and in the right way. Can you speak about anything you think is important for people to understand this time as the fascination with Native Americans continues to grow and people yearn for something beyond what they've been taught?
Well, I think the integration of different cultures coming into our ceremonies, there's several reasons. Some reasons maybe they don't fulfilled and they're not fulfilled in what they've grown up with, and they know there's something more, and so they start searching everywhere. And with ours, we're spiritually based. We're based off spirits, and I'll just say common God,
You say that you guys can't see Jim's face because we're looking at each other while we're audio recording, but he does a common God. I mean, why do you say it like that and shake your face in a funny way?
because that's how people know they identify with it, as God, as
Sure.
something dumb. Something dominant being over them, and they have to be obedient and subservient to it. Even though what I truly believe, the God or creator really doesn't require that from us,
Right.
but on, like on a church level, it's required to obey and be obedient. And unfortunately, it's getting that way in our ceremonies too, because people are dragging Christianity mentality into these Dakota spiritual ways, and they think it's correct. And what it is, it's just very confusing.
Yeah,
It confuses people.
let's be specific. Please share some examples.
Okay, like most of my people that come to my Sundance are non-Indians. Okay, black, yellow, and white. You know, of course, we're here, we're red. And what we do is we're very patient with them. We're very understanding. And
Or at
we
least
try
you,
to,
or at least you try.
oh, yeah, constantly try.
Yeah.
And we try to get them to the point of knowing that, hey, your spirit is alive within you. You know, you don't need something outside of yourself to tell you you're alive or if you're good or if you're bad. You gotta awaken that spirit within you. And then that way you'll have control over yourself. You have that confidence, that self-esteem. You have that belief that, I'm gonna be okay. I don't have to have something to lean against to be okay. I can stand on my own. And that's what I'm getting at is that's what I try to teach here. And some people like it and some don't, and that's fine. But the thing is, I give them the opportunity to do it.
I love that about our brother, Lauren, Chief Golden Light Eagle, and there were a couple of things in his beautiful life's work of service, in addition to bringing in star teachings and grounding and anchoring energy fields and, dimensions and all that. But there's some very basic, simple teachings that he taught and shared with us, and that were stronger. And two of them, which are kind of one, is that we all have free will, and the other is this piece that is very different than how I grew up, which involves control, is that we need to not be controlling of each other and give each other the respect to make our own choices and take responsibility for our choice. That was kind of inherited, that second part, in implied, that second part. But and I remember him teaching about, like when you come out to the res, you're gonna see, like, the only time the kids need to come inside is like to eat, but otherwise, there's a lot more space. Which of course is a generalization, as we know. We're human. We're all here to learn and work out these issues. But I love that, because this is, this also about my path. My path is very much, I've been seeking from all different kinds of cultures to really find myself. And I understand that now, that we're all just looking for peace inside of ourselves and purpose, and that, like, the Eastern traditions and the Indigenous traditions all kind of stand for what you just said, which is you are a beautiful divine being. And inside of you is that spirit, and let's empower and inspire you to stand in your power and
Exactly.
be who you're uniquely here to be. And nobody knows more than you what you need, but we may need to clear some of the conditioning where you were told that everything and everyone outside of you knows more than you, or can connect to God or whoever, beyond you. And I think that's really rich. I think that, again, before we started this recording, I said, I'll share with the listeners, like I said, Jim, I'm going to ask you complicated questions and you're going to give me simple answers, because our whole relationship has been like that. And I'm flashing back, like a couple of years ago when Sherwin transitioned, and I was really having a hard time for several years, and I was not able to go back into this the ceremony space for all kinds of reasons. I manifested just going into my own cave, and which I found out later is very common, that often when people lose a partner, they will actually not go back into the regular they'll be in their own ceremony, just like women have our own moon time ceremony. That's why we don't go into other ceremony second ceremonies. It's not that anti-feminist to not allow a woman to sweat on her moon time, for example, but it's part of honoring what your ceremony is and what your body needs at that time. I would have, when I was mooning, I would have never wanted to sweat on my moon time. That didn't feel natural. But anyway, but the new ways that are developing with yourself and other teachers that are open to understand the truth between the cultures of encouraging people to work with their own ancestors and connecting to their own spirit actually started leaving more room to invite women to do whatever they want, you know, which is interesting because we want to support freedom. How do you balance people to make their own choices, but also prepare them to come in a good way that's going to also protect them? Because if they do whatever they want, we've seen some crazy things happen in our community when people do whatever they want. That doesn't feel safe. Just like a child can't do whatever she wants or he wants all the time because they need direction still. You know, how do you balance the two in leadership with your with people that you get to, you know, support?
Well, I want to go back a little bit. First, I want to tell you about the UEP part, okay? When I had my UEP dream when I was at the age of 35, I didn't fulfill it till the age of 52. So 17 years, I didn't do it. And I went to sweats and powwows, and I'm clean and I'm sober and everything. And everything I did not work out.
Okay,
It
first of
always
all,
turned.
people don't even know what it means that you had a UEB dream.
A UEP dream is a dream that the
Thank you.
creator gives you that you got to do a certain ceremony for your life to help people, help doctor people, help heal people, help counsel people, be supportive of people, And so that's what that dream is. It's basically something that God told me, hey, you need to do this.
Yeah, and the UEP ceremony.
Is UEP ceremony is we where it's in a room, a dark room at night, usually at night, and they wrap me up in a big star quilt, kind of like a mummy. And they tie me all the way down from my neck to my ankles, and they lay me on the ground. They turn off the lights and they start singing the spirit songs, and then the spirits will come in, and they'll come in, they'll move around, and they'll
Yes, they
come to
will.
me, and they'll counsel me what they want me to tell the people or share, or what they want to hear the prayers. And then as the ceremony goes on, as they're singing more songs, they'll go out and they'll come back with the answers. And they'll bring the answers back. And then they share the answers with me to these prayers. And then at the end, they'll sing some leaving songs. The spirits will untie me, unbind me. And when the spirits leave, and then we turn on the lights, and I'll be untied.
I've seen it.
And I'll have the answers to what people want their prayers are about. I can give them their answers, what they're asking for.
I've seen it. It's real. And
Yeah.
it's amazing. I've seen the spirits, I've felt them, I've received healings, I've received messages from you and others, another person. But you know, what's interesting is I'm going to actually hold this question. So please continue. So 17 years, you had the dream, you started doing, you know, you did all the things, but nothing was happening. And then what?
Everything was going wrong. Everything was going wrong. My own nephew committed suicide. My sister, who was his mother, she tried to commit suicide by taking pills. Some of my cousins, they started doing meth. It just really, really hit the family hard. And my Aunt Marlene told me to do something. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Well, go on a hill and pray or something, she said. She got after me, and that's why I finally fulfilled that dream. But here's the important part I want to tell you about UEP. When I was first tied up on the hill, on these grave sites, these old Indian grave sites, because I had to go to the most scariest haunted place they put me because I had fears. I had to face these fears. And I was tied up. Like I looked like a big old burrito tied up, you know? And the spirits come. But here's the thing I learned from the spirits. Half a God, half a creator is inside of me. And the other half is the spirits that float around out there, that move around. So when I learned to call them and ask them for help, when they would, if they would listen, and they did listen, they would come and they would meet me halfway. Then I would say my prayer, and then they would assist me. So what I want to tell people is half a God, half a creator is within you. Don't destroy it. Don't abuse it. Don't neglect it. Listen to it. Follow it. That way, you're going to be on the right track. You know, some people go off of the thing and say, hey, I got intuition that's telling me to do this. Do it because it's probably right.
It's probably
But
right.
more than likely, it's 99.9% right. You listen to your mind, you're going to get confused, you know? So that's the most important part I wanted to share, you know,
I love
is
that.
listen.
Yeah, I love that. It's so simple, right? But there's so much trauma that confuses people and also indoctrination. I remember being way more confused when I was younger. It's not that I don't still, I still consult. I have like my spiritual sisters and grandmas and my spirit team and friends and elders. I mean, I feel very blessed like that. And I try to bring it forward as much as possible. So I consult with like friends and colleagues and spirit family because sometimes I'm not clear too, or I'm getting my emotions are so heavy, you know, that it's in the way. And so that's one reason why I really love the purification path, right? Of like prepare yourself for ceremony. Even, you know, someone invited you to a sweat lodge, like learn about making offerings, bring as much tobacco as possible. Maybe they're collecting money, you know, be ready. Don't drink for a week or however, whatever you can do to get your body and your mind. I'm not saying don't drink for a week. It's different for each person, but at least 24 hours, please. Right. And so there's like all these ways to get yourself ready for that communion. It wasn't like, oh, I'm sure you weren't like, oh, I'm gonna go to the graveyard tomorrow. All right, you're just hanging out with your buddies and then like then your family, and then the next day you just go. You know, you got ready, and there's a lot of preparation. And so again, the question is like, you know, even when we know everyone listen to your own knowing. There's still a lot of things in the way because so many generations of trauma indoctrination for everyone, really. I mean, I went to get some like food allergy testing the other day at the hospital. I was getting some blood drawn, and there was an old man. He looked tired and old and heavy, and he started like not getting his way and started yelling at the nurses, and like all these people started coming out and standing around, and like this woman was helping me like started shaking, and then she started yelling at me, and I was like, wait, no, I'm just trying to get like my own thing. And I was like, and I was like, stay cool. And she was like, I can't. She like ran out of there, and I connected with the next nurse that came in, and she said, oh, she's kind of like crazy. I was like, you know, we all got trauma. And she's like, we do. I'm like, it's okay, you know. We different, and I'm understanding that the older I get. And anyway, the piece that's coming for me, I'm trying to kind of bring in this question. It jumps from where we started in terms of balancing, acknowledging your own connection and helping people awaken their own spirit, but also needing medicine man. So yes, my spirit is awake. Yes, I have an intuition, but I might make an offering to you. to do ceremony for me. So you can, it's still that someone else is connecting to spirit. So we do need each other as to continue to remember, right? I mean, we need one another. I was talking with a woman a month ago and she really wanted to work with me, to mentor with me, but she's talking and she's going, I think I could do all this on my own. I said, you can, but it'll be much faster if we work together, because I'm going to give you tools like this to
yeah,
help
exactly.
Clear your mind. You can. It'll just take longer.
Yeah.
And it's up
yeah,
to you.
And the sad thing is sometimes a lot of people say that and they end up confusing themselves worse.
That's what I'm saying, is like, how can,
And
that's something to talk about, because they'll go, no,
exactly.
I'm 30 years old. I know everything. I've got my own connection. I'll just go into my own ceremony. I don't want to spend money or make an offering or be uncomfortable or whatever.
But the, yeah, and unfortunately, even in Native community, they get worse. And eventually, when they really hit that brick wall, then they're like, well, maybe I should have asked somebody for advice. Maybe I should have, offered them something, at least food or something, and that way they could assist me, And so I understand that completely. Because I see a lot of people right now, they're instant healers, but you know what? They got so much trauma, so much back history and narcissism, egotistical stuff, and they end up hurting people, but they're saying they're helping people. Because you know what? Those people always call me and ask me, Jim, is this right? Is that right? And I'm telling them, well, I tell them what I think and my experiences, because I don't want to tell them if they're right or wrong. I just want to tell them, share my experiences, and they make their own judgment, But, I've been doing this. I started doing this when I was 27 years old. Okay. And I'm 58 now. And, I learned a lot of stuff. I learned a lot of stuff about the human being, about spirituality, about nature, about ceremony, about animals, about people. I learned a lot. I didn't go to no college. I didn't go anywhere. I learned it on my own. And I took the time to learn it on my own because I need it. Because I must just say it this way. God was pushing me in that direction. And that's why I'm where I'm at now.
That's right. Yeah. And it's interesting. There's this star constellation called Chiron. Chiron is the wounded healer. And I think right now Chiron's in Aries, which is where my Chiron is. And that's when those of us that are on the path of spiritual service kind of have to face our own shit, And if we're alive, I think we're facing it. My path of wanting to help heal the world is really my desire for my own peace. Like, it's always about you, right? Even
exactly.
And I feel like the piece around trauma that confuse, another thing that trauma can confuse people around, is the thought that serving others means, and I'm curious your thoughts about this, sacrificing all of your own needs for the people. It's a little controversial. It's like, yeah, don't leave yourself out. Leave yourself out. To me, the feminine path always browns it out. And it's a lot of what I do with women, is like, serving everyone includes you. Is that something that you've worked through or learned more about? Because you are very humble and dedicated to serving your people. And is that something you've learned more about as you've gotten older, to not leave yourself out? Or is it something you think that we should?
Especially now that I'm getting older. And I'm getting weaker and stuff. And I'm like, I should have took care of myself a little better. Because when I used to do ceremony, I'd give everybody my all. I'd give my whole spirit to help somebody. And now that I've been doing it for years, I'm like, I'm getting weaker and stuff. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have conserved some of that energy for myself, And
And
you see what
also
I'm
the
saying?
I see what you're saying, because I've experienced it as well. I mean, I remember, think it was after Chief. You know, I don't have kids, so a lot of people are like, after my son was born, I'm like, after my boyfriend passed away, before my boyfriend passed away, it's like different eras of my life. But I remember I was leading, it was like a year, it was 2018, and I had a group of about 12 women coming into town, and we did like a weekend on the river retreat, and then I did like a hands-on, like an energy healing training over a couple of days, and then I did like a public conference one day, and it was like just a whole week. And then the following weekend I went to dance. It was an African dance conference, and I went to do some dancing, and my back totally went out. I mean, and it never happened in my whole life where my back went out, and I was like in the middle of a dance, I can't move, and I was out, I was down, and I realized that I've been carrying, I hadn't let down the weight from that prayer that I was holding for it was like about 50 people, including everyone who came to the event, the one day conference. So it was, and I was like, oh man, I need to give myself some more space. You know, and I could be very hard on myself, very hard, because I was raised, like most of us, thinking that how, as being raised Jewish, the values in Judaism are very much about altruism and mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are like helping people. Help, the more people you help, the better. Like you, the happier you'll be. It's like the purpose. So it's when I go back and I go to like my niece's bat mitzvah or my cousin's son's bar mitzvah, I was like, hear these prayers again. I'm like, oh yeah, there's goodness in this patriarchal old religion. There's some the prayers that affected how I think, and I give thanks, and you know, try to like integrate that into the world teachings that I've received. But there's also this piece where I've, what, and I wonder if you've sat with this too, is where I define my worth based on how many people I help. I define, if I help more people, if I do more, I will feel like good about myself. And that can also be a trap for empathic people who are always giving. You know, so I had to have a mentor be like, helping you is helping everybody. Even because I don't have kids. So I'm like, I don't even have kids. I'm white. I'm privileged. I should be doing like, I always tell you that I should be doing so much more. I should be doing more, more, more. I'm not even doing enough. And it weighs on me. But sometimes there, that is like a beaut, feels like a beautiful pull to stay in the prayer of how can I serve today? What can I do today? But also, it could block me from thinking that I'm only, my value is determined by how I help. And that can keep me, you know, confused as well.
You know, I used to kind of think like that too. The more people I help, the better job I'm doing. But now I'm to the point of if I want to do something, I want to do it quality. I want to do it one-on-one, you know, or a small group. And I want them to get what I'm sharing, you
Right.
know.
I
That way
do.
they get the quality of it, the quality of the teaching, of the knowledge, of the learning. And that way, that's, say if I had five students and I taught them everything I know, that would be five students that would go out and teach another five students. So that would be another 25. They're doing the work. I don't have to do all the work.
I'm
You
getting
just
that.
do the work the first time and then you let it spread out,
Yeah.
you know?
I'm getting that now in my early 50s. I'm, you know, now that I'm postmenopausal, I'm getting it. And it's something that Chief Golden Light Eagle used to teach. The smaller the group, the higher the vibration. Yeah, he would say that. The smaller the group, the higher the vibration. And I have that with my mentees. I used to want to reach everyone and the more people and the more money. And now it's like my fire's chilling out a little bit. Chill out. You don't have to explode all over the place. And it's a very masculine quality I think that I have. That's part of my nature. It's like I have to serve and help everyone. See, I'm worthy. I'm good. I'm helping. Dad, you know, maybe I'm talking to my father or something. I recently had a prayer. You know, my dad transitioned 2 years ago. And I had this, and I could tune in with him. One of the things that I really learned from Chief Falkman's transition and being in ceremony out in Yankton with our relatives out there was how we change form after we transition, right? Like you think, like people relate with their relatives on the other side as if they're in the same, they're the same being, but they're actually evolve. We evolve when we leave the body, hopefully, if we're not stuck. And so my dad, right? So my dad has been showing himself in these different ways, and it was so beautiful. So it's so beautiful. So he came to me and he said, I was praying about my work, and he said, oh, you know, you have a really unique path, and I used to think that you needed to fit into the way that I saw things. But now I understand you just keep going with your unique, very unique. And I don't want to say like, oh, unique is a little bit edgy. I'm a little bit the edge of the culture. Will you share a little bit about how people can connect with their own ancestors, and then we'll kind of wrap it up and people can find out how to follow up with you or anything else you want to
Well, I
share?
think the way I do it is just do ceremony. Or we have dreams, or we have visions of them. And basically, we follow suit of what they're trying to show us or share with us to get whatever they want to, whatever message or they want to come through to us. It's pretty simple, but at the same time, it's not always simple, you know? And,
Well, you have
you
to
know,
do offerings too, right? There's a whole offering element. Like if people can't come out to you and they want to do their own ceremony, you know, to connect with their ancestors, how could they do that if they don't have experience?
Well, that's like when you got to work with different spiritual men, spiritual people. They all got their own different altars that they work with. Not one doesn't cover everything. And so if you come to somebody and you want a certain type of help, you ask them, and they will share with you what you need to do. Like what type of ceremony, what type of maybe tobacco ties, flags, what type of food, water, what type of tobacco, you know, what they want you to do, so you can start building that relationship to your relative on the other side, you know. And it's more simpler than what it sounds, you know. It ain't real difficult, you know. But
Yeah, but you got to do it.
it's an individual thing,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know. And it's their own individual way of how they learned how to communicate with Creator. And that's, you know, I got my way that I learned and that I practice, you know. I live this every day, you know. And but there's always somebody out there to help you. You just got to seek them out.
I love the piece about building relationship because I feel like that's one of the main teachings that I've received from sitting with indigenous families on Turtle Island the last 30 years is the relationship, and that's what I'm learning. You know, a lot of people, those who listen to Awaken Life Radio, they want to serve. They're good-hearted. They're interested in stepping out more in their dharma. And as I,
Well,
right now, I have four women that I'm working very deeply with, and it's like, all right, you know, finally, okay, let's just build with what we have and grow from there. And like seemingly a slower way to work by building relationship with who's in your life, but it's sustainable. Anyway, please, what were you going to say?
Well, I got my Blue Spider Ranch page on Facebook. It's a private page for people that are spiritually minded or want to learn. A lot of it's my Sundance ceremony people. And then I got an email. It's I sent to you weepy man. It's all lowercase. It's ISANTI YUWIPIMAN@gmail.com. So either email or Facebook me under James White, you can get hold of me.
And
Because out here,
I'll post
the
that
service
in.
is spotty. Yeah.
I will post below the links for the Facebook and the email. We never know what's going to happen with Facebook and social media, so it is good to have people's email. One of the things that I really love about you, Jim, and appreciate is your openness and willingness to teach anyone and everyone. But I do want to accentuate the power of reciprocity, and I'll be sending you some gifts for today's podcast. Just to share with everyone, like the energy of exchange really makes a difference. To be able to, offer more than a word, but even a prayer or tobacco. So if you do reach out to Jim and you email him and you have questions, think about getting his address, getting his Venmo, sending him money, or if you're with him in person, possibly, offering tobacco if you have questions, even to approach a medicine person. Anything else you want to say about that or exchange or share with our audience before we wrap up? I can keep going with you. I feel like we're just warming up, but we're at time, so we will wrap up.
Okay. No, it just I don't require anything, but I'll say if donation is if you, what do you feel free to do is within you. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Well, thank you so much for your
But we do
time.
got our Sundance coming up August 5th to the 12th here in Santee, Nebraska. So I wanted to share that.
And Sundance was illegal until 1976, right?
78, 78.
78. Will you speak to, again, there's people who aren't familiar as much with these traditions. Will you take just a quick soundbite on Sundance? Who should
It's
come?
probably our biggest Sundance, our biggest ceremony that Dakota, Lakota, Nakota people practice, and it's usually in the summer months, and it's a ceremony of sacrifice of oneself to Creator for the benefit of all. I'll just say that. And during my Sundance, we have Inipis going 24 hours a day, and at night we have Uipi ceremonies people want to attend or for healing, and we allow people to go pick medicines like sage and buffalo root, mints for teas, echinacea, any other roots that people need for healing to get through the winter months. We show them how to get them and how to pick them in a proper way.
In a good way.
So it's a good time. It really is. People don't like Kate leaving after Sundance because the community feeling of and family feeling and love. When they leave, they're usually crying because they're like, "Oh, I don't want to go back to my life. I like this feeling."
Yeah,
but that's just, yeah, it is beautiful here. So.
Really, really beautiful. And I mean, I was surprised. Like, I knew, like, oh, go out to the res. Like, oh, it's intense there. It's like trauma and the land. And my friends and my, native friends and family are like doing all these ceremonies. And but when I got out there after Sundance that one year, it's like, whoa, like my heart just like expanded over the prairie. And it was like, whoa, I just felt so much love. And I'd love to get out there again. And visit with you and pray with you. And thank you so much for your time today. And let's do it again. There's so much more. Thank you so much, friend.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
If you enjoyed listening to today's episode, and I sure hope you did, you can listen to Awaken Life Radio wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. To join the conversation, hop on over to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/awakenedlifetribe. You can join us there and share any thoughts, feelings, insights, or questions that you have from listening to Awaken Life Radio, and we can interact and connect more on the Facebook page. Thank you again so much for checking out today's episode, and we'll see you next week. Namaste.